The Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, which was established many years ago now, is reformed a few years ago and created the Connecting Chords Festival. And this is a series of, I think, 18 or so concerts that get started this Friday. The director of Connecting Chords is Elizabeth Start, a composer, musician, organizer, and along with Betsy today is performer Carolyn Keeble, who also has had a long connection with both the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music and Connecting Chords. Welcome to both of you.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. We have some work to do here to talk about, to cover all of these events. I want listeners to know now they can find all of this posted online with full descriptions, ticket prices, venues. It's all available at ccmusicfest.com. So maybe you could open up that page and just follow along as we give you some background and insight into these concerts that really range from styles, performers, intentions, some of them extra musical, you might say. So Betsy, as the director of Connecting Chords, what was your goal for 2019?
Well, we're always looking to represent as many different faiths and cultures and types of music as we can. There's always so much more than we can actually do. And actually, this year we had said we would only do 12 events, and then it just started to
snowball,
to mushroom, yeah, because there's just so much great stuff. So we have a wide range of things, everything from the film. We thought the Joan of Arc film would be lots of fun for something a little bit different. And then, of course, some wonderful cultural heritage type musicians that I know we'll get to bit by bit as we do the whirlwind tour.
It traditionally ends with a community event, the Messiah Sing.
That's true, yeah. And that will be always the Sunday after Thanksgiving on at First Congregational Church at 4 o'clock.
Well, if that's the end, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
You have two very special performers, experts in their field, starting off this festival at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in downtown Kalamazoo on Friday. Mm-hmm. Would you introduce these artists?
Well, Rahim Alhaj is a wonderful oud player. He's Iraqi and has been in this country since he had to leave Iraq because of his political activities there, and his opposition to the Saddam regime. And he's been named by the U.S. as a cultural treasure, cultural heritage treasure. And we had him here a few years ago, and he was wonderful on mm-hmm. his own. And when I saw that he was paired up with what I thought was a remarkable, a woman tar virtuoso out of Iran, I thought, wow, this is incredible to have the two of them together and to imagine what she has gone through to come through their educational system in such a patriarchal society.
Oud and tar, I'm just going to ask you straight up, what are these instruments? How do they sound? Maybe, Carolyn, since you've played a lot of Eastern-style music and played with players of these instruments.
Yes, and in the Bahar Ensemble here in Kalamazoo, you can hear the oud played more often and regularly with Bo Bothwell and the K College group. But oud, you know, I would say a few things about it, that it's the round back pear-shaped instrument akin to the lute, if you're familiar with the Renaissance lute. 11 strings, double choruses except for one, and would appeal aesthetically to people who love classical guitar music. It fits somewhere in that spectrum of just gorgeous instrumental string, but it has the slippery quarter notes that give it a truly, you know, kind of unique mystical voice and color. And the tar is quite unusual to see and hear performed. And as a percussionist, we think a tar is a handheld frame drum. But the Persian tar actually is an ancient catskin string instrument, and similarly quite unusual and quite rare to find people playing it outside of Iran. And to have them bringing these two cultural persuasions together, the Persian and the Arabic, is like absolutely fascinating. It's going to be an amazing concert.
It has happened before here in this Midwestern town of Kalamazoo. Some of the greatest performers of all time on their instruments perform in a small venue for a small admission fee, and people are still scratching their heads.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So a little work needs to be done to encourage people to take that chance. And when we say, you know, these people are masters at what they do, even if you don't know the music well, it's always worth hearing a master.
Absolutely. I mean, you would find them on the stages of the Chicago Cultural Center and New York's premier venues and internationally. So when this comes to town in Kalamazoo, you know, it's always, I think, both of our greatest hopes that people will, you know, rise to the occasion and like you say, take a chance, go out and experience it.
Yeah, and actually for this particular concert, we decided to experiment with a pay-what-you-can option. We do have a suggested price, but realizing that not everyone maybe can afford a $20 ticket, we're experimenting on this one. That doesn't mean we encourage everyone to go at the bottom end, but it means if you really would love to hear it and just really can't afford $20, then there are options.
So. This concert is Friday evening at 7:30 at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. Lots of parking right there in downtown Kalamazoo. And an easy walk from many restaurants downtown, in fact, to the venue. CCMusicFest.com is the website where you'll see the full list of Connecting Chords concerts. And right now, even though it's a little risky, since we have a lot of events to go to check out, I thought since we have a really, really nice live performance of Rahim Alhaj solo in NPR's music studio in the Tiny Desk concert. So let's listen to some oud playing from Rahim. Well, that was quite the teaser, I'd have to say.
It's an appetizer.
If you just tuned in, and I hope that you were listening before, we have a master of the oud and the percussion instrument, the tar, from Iran. The musicians are Rahim Alhaj and Saba Motalebi.
Yeah, but just to make sure that we know the tar, the Persian tar that that Saba would be playing is a stringed instrument, and it is also a melodic stringed instrument as well. So this is going to be a very, very interesting concert.
Okay. Well, let's move on to drums then.
This festival is full of drums.
Carolyn,
and opportunities for the community to come out and participate and interactively play, drum, and dance. There's two events. There's a wonderful collaboration event on November 2nd, a family drumming program with Dee Dee Alder and Melissa Ludwa and Caitlin Bodine. And another one in the evening of November 7th with myself and Samuel Nalangira, our resident Ugandan drum and dancer here in Kalamazoo. So two wonderful programs, absolutely free, but always welcome to contribute donations where able. And our event is a little of a preview event for Samite of Uganda, who will be here again at the fest. He's been here a few times, and it's just an absolutely stunning human being, the things that he's done and the legacy he has created over the course of events he's been through in his life. And his music is really beautiful and multifaceted, multi-instrumentalist. So that's that's a little later in the program. But as far as upcoming programs this Sunday, we have Ken Koshio, Nagoya-born Japanese folk singer turned taiko drummer, who will be in residence at Kalamazoo College doing master classes for the students and community there and doing a public concert event on Sunday. So the master classes are this Saturday morning, and there are still a few slots left, so I would just encourage folks to visit that at the website as well if you'd like to come out and participate in drumming on the big Japanese drums, the taiko drums. And Sunday afternoon is an eclectic program of Japanese music spearheaded by Holland-based organist Rhonda Edgington. And this actually, the whole program grew out of a conversation in which she approached me about 2.5 years ago and said, I found this unusual contemporary composition for organ and taiko drum. Yeah, would you be interested in playing it? I said, well, I don't know. I guess if you have a score, pass it my way and let's talk. Yeah. So from there, this piece came together, Fujin Rajin, and it's a 22-minute organ taiko suite in 3 movements. And it's really something to be experienced. I don't know the best way I could describe it other than to come and experience it Sunday. And it will be woven into a whole program of Japanese music with guest Marimba SW alum Mark Lopez, and then Ken and members of Michigan Hiryu Daiko will do some group taiko ensemble pieces. Ken will be a featured soloist, also sharing his skills with Sanshin, which is the Okinawan 3-string banjo, and the Shinobue, the traditional bamboo flute. So he'll be doing a few pieces on the program. And then he's also doing an evening of original and traditional music later the following week at Parchment Library on the 24th.
This Music of Japan concert will be held at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church on Sunday at 4 o'clock. The Music of Japan doesn't often come to Kalamazoo. I think I might be saying that a lot during this interview. And you mentioned Ken's name a few times. It's Ken Koshio, and he brings both a great deal of expertise as a traditional drummer, but also a kind of a modern sensibility. He's a really unique individual. I've met him a couple of times, and you will, in the presence of Ken, you kind of get that feeling of burning energy.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And someone who's completely committed to whatever moment he's in and the music he's playing. So he's really fun to observe and listen to and to see all these instruments in one place.
Yes, and really a wonderful program for organ lovers. Rhonda's work is exceptional and a very adventurous, unusual collection of things that she'll be playing.
ccmusicfest.com is where you can follow along with all these events for Connecting Chords Music Festival.
Yes.
Why don't I ask Betsy to continue with some of these events?
Okay. Well, after our Sunday organ program, we will be featuring Leah Alisa Lee at Congregation of Moses on Wednesday at 7:30, and she's a Sephardic vocalist. She will be performing with 3 backup musicians, and we probably have some samples of hers we could hear. She actually performed for us on a Sound and Spirit program a couple of years ago and was really wonderful. It was only like a 15-20-minute segment, and it's like we wanted more. So we've brought her back.
What are some of the elements that she brings with this Sephardic music?
Well, one thing that she does try to focus on is women composers and musicians that are not that well known from this period. And she's singing in older tongues, and it's a very it's hard for me to, on a early morning for me, hard for me to voice this, but it's bringing the different styles of you hear some Arabic influences, you hear, of course, singing in both Hebrew and Ladino. So So very, very different languages and lots of different influences, and generally pretty upbeat, exciting stuff.
Yeah. Generally, cultures that are 500-600 years old, it's hard to trace their origins and specific cultural material, but the Sephardic Jews did retain, hold on to that culture, even mm-hmm. though they were forced out of regions and had to move. And it's lasted to this day. So mm-hmm. exciting to see someone who specializes in this music. And we can take a short break here and hear some of Lea Aliza's singing. She performs on Wednesday, October 23rd. That's a week from today at 7:30 p.m. at the Congregation of Moses. And details are at ccmusicfest.com. It's all part of the 2019 events for the Connecting Chords Music Festival. From a live performance by Sephardic singer Lea Aliza Lee, and she's performing next Wednesday at 7:30 at Congregation of Moses. Here in the studio, I have the director of the Connecting Chords Music Festival, Betsy Start, and performer Carolyn Keeble. We've had a look at a few events in the first week. The festival begins on Friday, and so we're into next week now. Ken Koshio is back to perform on Thursday at Parchment Community Library, as you mentioned, Carolyn. That's at 7 o'clock, and it is free. He'll be bringing both drums and some songs as well.
Absolutely. Drums and strings and songs and things. So Ken started at really his musical career in the United States. He came and struck up on the streets of L.A. as a folk singer and peace activist. And that has really been his lifeblood. And even when he transitioned into taiko drumming, he wanted to bring all these interests together. So you often find his programs are entitled A Night of Taiko Rock. And he likes to get the rock and roll and the taiko in the same time and space, and has done programs for peace at Ground Zero in New York, and works quite extensively in the Southwest. He is based in Phoenix with the Hopi and doing programs in the Grand Canyon and powerful, beautiful energy centers of the earth. And this program, I would suspect on the Thursday night at the library, would be, again, very interactive. You know, you're welcome to ask questions and probably, you know, try some things at the end of the night, but some taiko drumming, of course, and guitar songs, sanshin, traditional Japanese song, and the flute, again, the bamboo flute fue.
Strikes me that since the festival is offering this for free at a library, kids would be really into this program as well, and yeah. They may be the ones asking a lot of questions, too.
That would be great.
If you bring the family. That's Thursday, October 24th. I have a soft spot for the next event, which is the following Saturday, October 26th. It's a silent film with live music. Mm-hmm. Betsy.
Yeah. Well, this is the 1926 French classic film, The Passion of Joan of Arc. And I encountered this film years ago when I played a live soundtrack to it with full orchestra and chorus, which was a pretty amazing event. And, you know, I watched as much of the film as I could when I could look away from my music. and it's an amazing film. And this is more of a chamber version of a score for it, done by the composer George Serra. And he is coming with electronic keyboards that he will be playing. And he has lots of film credits, TV credits. I thought it was very cool that he was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Did a lot of music for them and actually appeared on camera, I understand. And anyway, he wrote this for himself on electronic keyboards and a vocal quartet and a string quartet. So we will be rehearsing this with them next Friday and then doing the film on Saturday.
Seeing a silent film the way it was meant to be seen with live accompaniment.
I love it.
With a modern sensibility, I'm thinking, since George Serra was in sort of a trip-hop band in the early 90s, and it fit in very well with one of my favorite shows, Buffy.
Yeah, one of my favorite shows as well, too.
And so yeah, kind of updated with sounds of today, and the film itself is extraordinary. I've seen the film before, and this possibly, I was just reading about it, some New York Times critic called it possibly the best performance on film ever given by the lead actress Jean Falconetti as Joan of Arc. So again, the time and place for this.
Okay, it's at 2:00 at Kalamazoo College's Dalton Theater in the Fine Arts Building. And I also want to mention that the singers are from Early Music Michigan, and then the string quartet is will be some faces you recognize from Kalamazoo Symphony.
Saturday, October 26th.
Are you on cello?
I will be playing interestingly enough, his quartet is written for one violin, one viola, two cellos. So Igor Sutkovic will be playing, and I will also be playing, and Lisa Williams and Nora Frisk. And though we have noted, those of us at the bottom end of the spectrum have noted that we end up playing very high a lot on our instruments in this score, but it should be a lot of fun.
This is a ticketed event, and you can buy tickets right now through the website ccmusicfest.com. There's a general admission, ages 25 and under, a special price, and of course, a festival pass for all of these events is also
a deal.
Available.
A deal. Yeah, $50, and you can go to all of our ticketed events.
Oh my gosh.
And of course, tickets are always available at the door.
So the Connecting Chords Music Festival continues on October 26th at 2 with The Passion of Joan of Arc. Other weekend events next weekend? Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's coming.
Yep. Yeah. Who is David Lauer you've invited to perform here?
He is a French organist, and he's coming over to do some concerts in this country and is particularly performing a work by someone whose name is going to escape me right now, and I'm very sorry about that. He has WMU connections. Manu, I keep hearing everyone call him. I think he's Emmanuel something. But anyway, David is doing this piece of his, and then a French program, some other music, some of his own original works, as well as we had just such wonderful success with featuring organ and other local performers last year that we invited back Susan B. Anthony to sing some French music with him as well. So that will be part of the program.
The concert is Sunday, October 27th, 4:00, and that's at First Baptist Church downtown. Something the Music Fest has always done is put a lot of concerts in sacred spaces in Kalamazoo and surrounding areas. And they are such nice places to hear live music.
Yeah, the acoustics are great, and you know, beautiful ambiance as well.
Perhaps, Carolyn, you can continue our schedule.
Well, we do have some weeknight events filling in, and one is a community zikr, which is a kind of new aspect of the fest this year, something I spoke with Betsy about. And with the rising popularity of Kirtan and Yoga Fest and Bhakti festivals and Krishna Das and these call and response devotional singers, it's also a wonderful time to learn more about this companion, or I would say sort of the parallel devotional practice from mystical Islam, which is the zikr. And this will be led by Murshid Muhammad Ikhlas from the North American Narashki Order out of Lansing, Michigan. He is connected with the New York City Durga, and I'll be accompanying on the Duff. And Unity of Kalamazoo will be our host for that Tuesday, October 29th, 7 p.m. This is, again, a free community event. And if you've attended the beautiful performances of the Whirling Dervishes at past festivals, they were at Nazareth just a few years back. I don't know that we'll be whirling per se, although occasionally something similar to that may happen. But the zikr is an interactive chanting practice. So it will be chanting the names, sacred names of Allah, and accompanied by harmonium, percussion, frame drum, and very educational and interactive, not meant to be religious or exclusionary, but actually informative and accessible to kind of debunk and demyth some of what we see, you know, just in society and politically, where a lot of these spiritual practices are misunderstood and misrepresented. And if you're a person who, like I said, enjoys different styles of devotional faith chanting, even akin to the Catholic Mass or the Hindu kirtan chants, then the zikr is something similar to this.
Okay. This is on Tuesday, October 29th, 7 o'clock at Unity of Kalamazoo, ceremonial chant, community zikr, you said.
Yes.
That's how it says. Okay. And the next event involves drums, a family drumming circle.
More drums. We love it. Yes.
That'll bring people to St. Luke's Episcopal Church.
Yes, and that'll be in the social hall, the little dining area there in the basement, so a more informal atmosphere. And that is a ticketed event, but it's a very, very low ticket price, and our other pay what you can. So I think we're suggesting $5, but $2 minimum. So.
Then a professional percussionist will continue the series on November 3rd.
Oh my gosh, yes, extraordinary talent.
With local roots.
Yes, Rohan Krishnamurti, who's been on the festival program, gosh, many times before,
yes.
And always with exceptional collaborators and new contemporary visions for the ancient South Indian Murdungam. So folks who've been in the community have heard his name, and he is a graduate of K College. But he did music, but I think he did a double major with chemistry and some other fantastical studies, but then has been based on the West Coast, LA, San Francisco, and just meeting more and more musicians, but has been a cultural ambassador of the South Indian drum since about 9 years of age when he was discovered to be a prodigy, and has been studying and mentoring with the finest players.
Yeah, I remember I was teaching an ethnomusicology class at K College years ago, probably 2002-ish, and we had Carnatic musicians visiting, and one was a touring, virtuoso, and the drummer was Rohan, who was a little bit late to the program because he had science fair that day. So I've known Rohan a long time, and he's always pairing up with interesting collaborators. And with this, this is actually looking at North Indian music, Hindustani music with the Carnatic, the South Indian, and the chants that are involved in that, in those faiths and that generate the music. And so they're looking not just playing incredible stuff that you're going to go, wow, that's amazing, but they're going to be showing us the connections to the chants as well.
Well, we have a few more events to get to in this Connecting Chords Music Festival, but I think we do have time to stop for a little example of Rohan Krishnamurti's playing here on WMUK.
And this is the Murdungam, the South Indian double barrel drum.
It from both sides.
You do, and with all the fingers and all the parts of the hand have their own divine purpose and assignment. And it's akin to the famous North Indian tabla drums. Many people have heard the name Zarqa Hussain in conjunction with Bela Fleck and other performers. And the Murdungam is the South Indian sister, the parallel drum to those drums, but in one body as a single unit.
If you're going to become a master player, it's best if you start at age 1, 2, three.
Correct. if your mother can chant the bowls and the talas while in utero, I think it is preferred.
Rohan Krishnamurthy will be performing at his alma mater, Kalamazoo College, in the Connecting Chords Music Festival. That will be Sunday, November 3rd at 4 o'clock at Kalamazoo College. And just to let you know, in that clip, we were mostly listening to Rohan performing with one hand.
Correct.
The right hand.
Very good, Kira.
A virtuosic playing from Rohan Krishnamurthy, who grew up here in Kalamazoo and now appears worldwide as a percussionist. And it occurs to me that even though he is a master, and many of the people we'll see are masters in their tradition, one thing that unites them is trying to sustain that tradition, trying to keep it going, trying to find new converts and people who can appreciate the mastery on display. Things are so much more easily accessible. People have maybe less incentive to learn to play instruments at all. And it seems like a global effort to continue acoustic instrument playing.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And samples are so good now that you can sound like you are a professional using all electronic devices.
Exactly. So that's another thing I think this festival could claim to sustain as well.
Well, we do believe that there are many things that are sacred beyond, of course, the faith traditions and cultural heritage, of course, human dignity and the environment. There are lots of things. If you ask someone what's sacred to you, what they would come back with. So, we definitely like to present these really cultural treasures, like Rohan, and Samate and Rahim and
so many.
The website that shows all of the events is ccmusicfest.com. And Betsy, well, let's, in the last 15 minutes we have here, cover the final week of the festival.
Okay, we'll do our best. Well, we're one of the things we're very excited about, and one of the first things that we lined up actually for this festival, is the return of the Tibetan monks, Buddhist monks from the Drepung Losling Monastery. We had them in 2007, and they're actually at the same venue. It worked out beautifully for the sand painting that they're going to do. Their entire time here in town will start on November 6th, which is a Wednesday, with a noon opening ceremony, sort of consecrating the sand painting mandala that they're going to be doing. And actually, we're talking about having a little social media vote on the subject of that mandala, so that will watch your get on our e-list to see if you can take part in that vote when we finally figure out exactly when we're going to start and stop it. But we're looking into doing that, and they will be then doing the sand painting during the open hours of the Kalamazoo Valley Museum, 9 to 5 on Thursday. On Friday, they'll need to leave a little earlier for their concert, which I'll mention in a second. On Saturday, they'll be there all day. And on Sunday, they'll be there finishing up the sand painting. And there will be a lecture about the symbolism at 1:30. All this at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum, all free. At 3:30 will be the closing ceremony, at which they actually disperse the sand, and you will be able to get a little packet of this consecrated sand to take home as a souvenir. Friday night, they are doing a program at Comstock Auditorium, which is a new venue for us and just about 10 minutes from downtown Kalamazoo. It sounded to me like way out somewhere, but it's really very nearby, and it's an absolutely gorgeous hall. It's a perfect size, great facilities, and we're really looking forward to having this concert there. And the concert I recall from the 2007 was really a wide variety of things. They do the multiphonic throat singing, where one person is producing, you know, three, four notes at the same time. They play on various different instruments, and they're amazing costumes. I mean, my personal favorite was the tiger, which was a two-man outfit where they were dancing up there in their little tiger suit, and that was pretty cool. So
a visual and auditory feast.
Yeah, so everything that the monks are doing at the museum will be free. The concert at Comstock is ticketed, but definitely worth seeing. You will see stuff and hear stuff you will not hear at the museum.
See, I had a hard time getting my mind around Tibetan Buddhist monks in Kalamazoo. I remember asking you, Carolyn, you were talking about how excited you were about this, and I'm like, so is this a chapter like from New York or something? Visiting, you know, is it an easy drive? No, they're from Tibet.
but they have a monastery in exile in India, actually. But they are Tibetan. And they
it's like the world is coming here.
Yes, they definitely are, and this is a really wonderful wonderful event. The monks themselves, I just recall, as being very, very charming, and hopefully you will see them appearing in restaurants around. We're looking for various places to feed them, since we have 11 people here for 5 days. So
do you have contact information on the website too?
Sure. Any restaurant that would be interested in having some nicely clad monks come in for a dinner, you know, let us know.
I love it.
It's amazing.
And I have to strongly encourage folks to go to the museum multiple times. Mm-hmm. So they'll be starting the mandala on November 6th, and then they'll be wiping it away entirely on Sunday afternoon. So if you want to see the completed piece, you should go Sunday, a bit of time before the closing ceremony. But if you stop back a few times throughout the creation of it, it's just a remarkable thing to witness, and the exquisite detail and intention that they put into it is just, you wouldn't be able to grasp it unless you just go there. And for people of all ages, absolutely, this is some masterwork.
Do you feel some sort of, you know, spiritual presence, or mm-hmm. is it more than just watching someone play with sand or people play with sand?
I remember, excuse me, from that festival in 2007 that we had all this stuff going on. Of course, the festival was more condensed at that time, and so to be able to go in and just see this incredibly purposeful, focused, calm, you know, spiritual thing going on, it was very, very calming to me.
The mandala sand painting lasts from November 6th to the 10th, and it will be gone, as Carolyn said. They wipe it away on the closing ceremony at 3:30 on Sunday, November 10th. So this is again, something that doesn't often happen here in Kalamazoo. There's another family drum and dance night on Thursday, November 7th. That's at Parchment Community Library. You can find that on the website. The Tibetan Buddhist monks will perform at Comstock Auditorium on Friday, November 8th. And we'll see lots of songs, culture, costumes in that. And you've mentioned Samite already. I think this artist, Samite, who's been here multiple times, but he always finds new avenues, things to highlight. He's a multi-instrumentalist.
Absolutely. And he's from Uganda, so his music is informed by that environment. And he originally, I experienced him here at the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival. Mm. And he performed at the State Theater and came out with nothing but his thumb pianos, his marimbas, akogos, and that was the piano. And I thought, oh, I think this is a pretty cool festival. Okay, they're mixing it up. And since that time, he's been here a handful of times, often through Connecting Chords. And you can just expect to hear quite a variety of instruments, timbres, songs, stories. And even Samite at this point, you know, is referred to as a music therapist within his own country for all the healing work he's done in the refugee camps and with the youth. And just his work is very, very passionate and informed by the difficulties he's seen and witnessed in his own life situation. And I think he's largely based in New York at this time, but certainly does a lot of international work still for healing.
Yeah, I think goes over to Africa routinely. And with this sort of music therapy connection and looking at the, you know, the trials that he's had in his life and that he works with former child soldiers in Africa, it seemed like a really nice connection to have him do some outreach at the Kalamazoo Juvenile Home. And he's going to visit both their classes there on Friday the 8th, that would be. And also, actually, I should mention that our artists this week, Rahim and Saba, are also visiting the juvenile home to perform and talk to their classes. So they're getting a real nice look at actually other music, other cultures, and also people who have come from other countries where they've faced hardships and persevered. Yeah. So,
and it's just wonderful. I mean, there's always a lot of sort of invisible outreach that happens behind festivals like this one, and it's been a long-standing part of the vision and commitment. And I can say, as myself, as a music therapist who worked for a number of years in the juvenile home systems, there would always be youth, you know, even though they are in a very difficult and challenging circumstance, their minds are still wandering the world of possibilities. And I had a young man who was 15, and he became absolutely fascinated by Egypt and the music of Egypt, the culture of Egypt. And when I brought in Arabic drums and percussion, you know, he was just wanted to learn everything he could about it because it struck such a chord in him. And on another occasion, I took in experiences with Native American music and frame drums, and it caused another one of the young people to reconnect and identify with his grandmother and her Native American roots and legacy, and to begin to awaken to that within himself. So these outreach programs and the programming in and of itself, you know, obviously is just meant to help us all build those cross-cultural connections and again, to break down barriers and stereotypes that other, you know, sort of aspects of our political systems tend to try to paint alternative pictures of. And when we actually see and meet and hear and experience the hearts and souls of these fellow humans, you know, all of that stuff falls away. And we really see that we're all longing for the same things.
The Connecting Chords Festival begins this Friday, and the final concert is actually on December 1st. But through these 18 events, I'm really understanding why you're calling it Connecting Chords. Mm-hmm. This is something that, yes, is partly entertainment, but is also opportunity, mind-changing, chance to travel the world in a way.
Absolutely.
And I have a new plan, which is to hear Mr. Samite at the end of the hour. We have a track from his new album called Resilience, and we'll hear Resilience. But before that, let's touch on the final events of the festival.
Okay. Well, one other ticketed event we have at the Nature Center, and this is a very small ticket price, and partly we do that just so people won't come in and wander through and go, oh, there's something going on in there. Let me go stick my head in. So we have a little bit of a gatekeeper of a, you know, $5 ticket at that event. Sound Immersion Meditation with Judy Huxman. This is something I have learned about somewhat lately, of course, using prayer bowls and tuning forks and gongs and all kinds of ways of getting sound to resonate with you and connect you with, probably Carolyn can talk to this better than I, connect to yourself and the universe and just feel what the sound vibrations really can do for you. I actually had a friend who was in hospice back in January, and there were particular frequencies that actually took away her pain with the tuning forks. So we're probably not going to have individual healing like that, but you're going to have this meditation experience, which will hopefully be give you an introduction to this and a sense of peace and connection. And our final, and that's 2 o'clock on November 16th at the Nature Center, which has been a wonderful collaborator with us for many years now. And then our final concert before the Messiah Sing is Scuola Antiqua. And this is a collaboration with the Medieval Institute over at Western. And this is a program that was originally commissioned for the Metropolitan Museum of Art to go along with an exhibit they had of Jerusalem 1000 to 1400. So it's drawing from music from that era, all the different faiths and cultures that were there in Jerusalem during those 400 years and the sorts of music that was created.
And as we mentioned at the beginning, the final event is the Messiah Sing at First Congregational Church. That's free and open to everyone, especially people who want to give singing the Messiah a shot. It's quite a fun event. Mm-hmm. Well, Betsy and Carolyn, thank you for giving us the details on this festival this hour.
Thank you.
Timed it out just right in order to hear a good portion of Resilience from Samite.
Oh, wonderful.
And as I mentioned before, all the dates, times, places, and ticket prices are online at ccmusicfest.com. Thank you, Betsy.
Yeah, and we also have a Facebook presence. Search for MFSM or Connecting Chords.
Sounds good.
Yes, and I will say this festival program this year in particular has a wonderful array of family-friendly programming and many interactive participatory events, so I really encourage folks to check it out.